League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Hello everybody, it's me Roscoe and welcome back to the Kings of Anglia FPL podcast. It's been a while since we've recorded one of these. Obviously we've had deadline day, midweek games and all that, but we're here to bring you a bit of an update, a recap of game week three and look ahead to game week four. I'm joined by our FPL expert in Alex Jones. Alex, come in my friend, how's things?
Good, I'm disappointed I don't have a flapjack like you do, that you've... This is like an interval on the flapjack where you started it and now you're going to wait till the end to finish it. But yeah, good. Probably been maybe a good thing in a way that we haven't done one of these in a while because it's allowed a few different things to happen. We've had some time. We've now had the international break. The game's done now, thank God. I feel like it's, yeah, a nice chance to reflect on how we've all started the league. Some of us quite well, others less so. And I did not mean that as a dig, by the way. You are fine. You're fine. Don't worry.
There are poor listeners out there, AJ, who are not doing so well. I'm doing
well. You said to me, I think I'm going to get cut adrift if this goes badly. You're never cut adrift until like right at the end. There's always something that can happen that will salvage it. So for those of you who've had a rough few game weeks, maybe haven't put Haaland in, maybe haven't put Salah in, or God help you if you haven't had either of them at all. Things can be changed, it can be salvaged. There is a long way to go still.
Yeah, I'm just going to quickly look. We're going to do a leaderboard update later, but I'm just thinking of the man who's at the bottom of the table. I'm sorry to bring you up here if you are listening.
Oh God, this is brutal.
I'm scrolling. I've got so many people in this. Actually, we'll get to it later. We'll get to them later. Or she, you never know. God. Okay, bottom actually. It's actually a shit. It's Stacey. Don't worry, Stacey. Take it or leave it. I like that. Still early days. And yeah, I've had not a good start, to be honest. I'm like 600 and something, which is it's not good.
It's worth mentioning, though, that there are people as well who've joined late. And yes, they might be towards the bottom as well. We've got people that are coming in for the next game week as well. I think there's seven people by the looks of it that are coming in starting from the next game week. So they're going to start from the bottom because the points come in from that point. So for those of you who are working to come from behind, good luck. You know what? It's not as in saying good luck, you're going to need it. You know what? It's a good challenge. And yeah, these things can be overhauled no matter how big the gap is between those at the top and those at the bottom.
Yeah, I remember I've had a few messages from people saying, what's the code, Ross? And I've sent it over to them, and I'm thinking, they're joining very late here, but, you know, they could they'll catch me up.
The code will be in the description of this. Yes. On whatever platform you're listening or watching or whatever. Still time to join if you haven't done so yet. Although I'd imagine that if you're listening to this, you probably have joined.
Yeah, you're probably a big FPL player who, I mean, many, many chats there and many, like, you know, teams and stuff like that. But shall we look, AJ, at game week three? Obviously, that was a few weeks ago. Obviously, we had an international break. Obviously, a lot of players, town players, who were playing for their countries, which is great to see. But shall we take a look at how we both did and then look at maybe some of the big, you know, scorers as well in our league? I think the average was 64. The highest was 130 points. I only got 57 points. So I didn't get average. What was your average?
What was your cost? I got 92, so wow. I'm quite happy with that. It's a high average. I'd say that was primarily helped by Haaland and Salah. I think they both scored 17, and I had both of them, and I had Haaland captained. So add those two together, and then had Isak and Wood, I think both scored. Saka got an assist, I believe. Rico Lewis got an assist, and then Dean Henderson made 1,000,001 saves away at Chelsea. So lots of points there. It is worth pointing out as well that 130 is not from our league. That is the highest points across the game. When you look at ours, let's have a look. I think that the highest I can see on here is 100 from game week 3, 101 I've just seen, 103, 105. That's kind of the highest numbers, low hundreds or so. So don't worry if you're quite a way off 130. That's not the highest in our league, but quite happy with 92, yeah.
I'm not happy with 57, though. I'm just having a look at mine. Yeah, didn't have a... Isaac, you know, he got 18 for me. I captained him. So, as you mentioned, you know, so not too bad. That's actually helped me because everyone else just... Pedro got 8. Did he score again? So, that's good.
Did you forget about your captaincy pick here? Because I'm not saying that Isaac would have been a terrible one, but I feel like putting him in... captaining him against Spurs, who are, you know, top 16. Was that one where you forgot about it?
I just knew he was going to score against Spurs. Everyone scores against Spurs, don't they? So, at least get one. Maybe, I don't know. I probably wasn't looking at the matchups. I think that's what I need to start doing. I think that's a new thing, a pointer that for everyone out there as well, just like me, look at the matchups, see who's playing who. And that's probably an obvious thing, but I just didn't think about it. So that's my new thing. So I think, going forward, captaining and, you know, putting people on the bench and stuff. Like, on my bench, I've got so many points. Like, Jared Bowen got 5. Yeah. Leif Davis got 7 because he got that assist against Fulham. And got Michael Keane got 6. And obviously, Everton threw away that lead. But he got 6 points. He got more points than Pedro Porro, Mitchell and Robertson. So... And then
your Michael Keane pick was interesting, wasn't it? Because I think it was the week before you had someone who didn't play. I think it might have been Phil Foden. And you had Keane as your number one sub. I said to you, you are doomed, mate. And he came on, didn't do anything. And it really came back even worse than the following week. Yeah. But of all players to score as well, Michael Keane. I remember having a look at your bench to think that is painful. There's almost about half your points tally that you've picked up, about half of that's on your bench. So you could have been well into the average if you'd had some of those players.
Yeah, that's 18 points there. If I didn't, I don't know, like Palmer and Saka got 6 for me. Smith Rowe, I maybe should have maybe switched Bowen and Smith Rowe, with Smith Rowe playing at Twitch at that point. And like Son was a new signing of mine and he got 3 points, which is just disgraceful. Yeah. Rad got 2. For Arsenal because they drew obviously against Brighton, which obviously Pedro scored. So yeah, not a good week for me, I'll have to admit. Obviously game week 2 I got 77, and then actually game week 1 I had a dreadful time. I had 52. So how's your week been so far, AJ? I know we've done podcasts previously on this. So you would have listened to those, I'm sure, ladies and gentlemen. But what's your game week's been so far? What's the points totals?
Building nicely, 73, 79, 92. So. That's quite good. I think, that steady progression is quite nice. I've used some points to make some changes because the team at the start was an issue where I had Barco, who has now been sent out on loan, so he had to come out. I had Dominic Solanke, who I think might be back this kind of run before the next international break. And then Jarrell Kwanza, who I saw in the flesh get absolutely bullied by Liam Delap, and I don't think he's been seen since. So looking at those, there were changes to make, have gone through and done those. The biggest thing that I did was having Haaland and Salah, and it's a bit of a shame in a way that to be good at this game, you have to do what the majority of people are going to do and have those players in. I think between them, Haaland was 15, Salah was 12, wasn't he? So that's over half of... Just over a quarter of your budget going on to two players. Haaland's since gone up to 15.2, which is mental. Salah's gone up to 12.7. He was starting off on 12.5, but when you look at the points hauls, we can talk about some of the big scorers in a minute.
Let's do it now, mate.
I mean, look at what Salah got. I think he's the top scoring midfielder. I sent you the list there. You have a look. And Salah, I think he's top scorer with... 41 points in total, 14 against Ipswich, 10 against Brentford, 17 against Man United, and then Erling Haaland, who I have had set as captain for the last couple of weeks, 7 against Chelsea, 17 against Ipswich, and 17 against West Ham, back-to-back hat-tricks. it's just unfair to have a player like him, A, in your squad full stop as like a football team, and B, in your FPL squad, because the points he's picking up is ridiculous. Haaland is on, also on 41, so they're both on 41. Are there any others that kind of catch your eye in terms of the standouts that we've got on those top scorers?
Yeah, now look now. I'm the idiot right here. That's probably why I'm doing rubbish, because I haven't got Haaland or Salah in my team yet. But yeah, let's quickly look at every position. Like forwards, obviously, is where you get the points. Like Danny Welbeck is the second highest, which is great. You know, fair play to Danny. Havertz for Arsenal, I think, was always going to be up there, wasn't he? Wissa for Brighton, of course, he's had a really good start, hasn't he?
He always goes under the radar. I find that with Brentford's kind of wide forwards, him and Brian and Mbeumo are the two where they're never the snazzy names. There's a thing going around at the moment, which is like the Barclays men of the Barclays Premier League era, who have a certain vibe around them. And I know that we are a long way out of that. And any player in this kind of era of Premier League football has nothing to do with that. But there's something about Wissa and Mbeumo that gives me that kind of vibe with who they are. And they're really good goal scorers. And Wissa showing it there, 21 points, is a really strong call from the first three games.
Very good. Obviously, you've made a good point with Chris Wood, you know, putting him in your team. And yeah, he can score goals here and there and everywhere. It's 19 points for him, which is good. Pedro, my team, I think, I think he's a safe pick, isn't he? He's not that expensive. He's just under the high end. But yeah, he'll score goals for Brighton. Let's move over to goalkeepers. Once again, really, you just need one goalkeeper and you just need a decent keeper. Like, I've got Raya on my team. He's got 20 points. It's Alisson Becker for Liverpool, got the most points. Pope, 16 for Newcastle. Have you got Fleck in your team?
No, I've got Dean Henderson, weirdly, who doesn't make it on. He had a nice pickup against Chelsea, as I mentioned, got 4 points through the saves, even though he hasn't kept a clean sheet in that one. It has been one I've kind of thought about in terms of making the change. I think that Palace will be fine, but maybe not quite as good as I hope they might have been based on the end of last season. When you look at the ones who stand out there, Sells has been an interesting one. I know Forest's start to the season has been pretty easy, to be honest, in terms of the fixtures they've had. 11 points for him, Flecken on 10, Steele on 9, playing for Brighton. Yeah, interesting ones there. Areola was another one I'd kind of thought about having in my team. Just West Ham had a really tough start, and I think he might have pulled up injured in that Man City game before the international break as well. So one that I'm going to have a look at, I think. But yeah, we'll get on to my team selection in a bit.
Indeed. Defenders, it's Liverpool who are very heavily. They're the top three players with defenders. You know, Trent, Robertson, and obviously Virgil. 2018 points, Virgil and Robertson.
Concede a goal in the Premier League. That's the biggest thing. 2-0 against Town, 2-0 against Brentford, 3-0 against Man United. A lot of talk about needing fullbacks for the attacking returns. If you've got a strong defensive side, then you're just going to be picking up those 6 points week on week on week.
Yeah, Konate? No.
Kanate.
Dear me, ladies and gentlemen. He's got 14 points to Liverpool as well, so he's doing all right. And then you've got two Spurs players, one Arsenal player. No, and then you've got loads of Arsenal players. And it's just one West Ham and one Man United player who finished the list that we've got in front of us, which is very interesting indeed. Then look at midfielders. Obviously, you may mention Salah already. Then you've got Luis Diaz with 32 points. Cole Palmer, I've got him in my team. He's got a bit of a triangle with a, you know, exclamation mark, AJ. That could be potential knock, which is not good.
I can't remember what that was for him, whether there was an issue there. He didn't play for England, but I'm not 100% sure why that was. But his return's obviously been really good. That Wolves game will be where you've got a lot of your points from, where he got 3 assists and a goal in the weird 6-2 game at Molineux and then got an assist against Palace before the break, but didn't play for England. I can't remember off the top of my head why that might have been, but I'd imagine he'll probably be okay having had the week off.
Yeah, I've just seen, basically, reports suggest Palmer has been contending with muscle fatigue. Obviously, has played a lot of football. He's just knackered, ladies and gentlemen. He's just knackered. Yeah. So hopefully this is a perfect time that he's had rest and he'll be ready to play for Chelsea this weekend. And so I'll have to debate if I want to start him or not. But yeah, 25 points. Any other players that are sort of jumping out? Like Adoma
Traoré. Brian Mbeumo. was one. Sorry, I'll let you talk about Adama in a second, but he's an interesting one where I know I've just mentioned him, but having him as a midfielder, like Wissa, who's on the other side, basically the two wingers, is a forward, is a little bit strange from my perspective. Since they're basically same positions. And you have to say Son, Semenyo's been playing almost up front for a lot of time. Diogo Jota has been Liverpool's striker. So the positions are a little bit weird on this. But yeah, talk about Adama Traore then, because I think he's actually quite a cheap asset. But 17 points puts him on the same as Diogo Jota, who has been one of the kind of golden boys of FPL, someone that a lot of people have picked. Yet here you've got Adama Traore, who's got the same number as him. He's returned so far one goal against Town, obviously, and assist against Leicester.
He's going to say that. Well, yeah, we're not happy that he scored against Ipswich, obviously, for Fulham. But yeah, could be a good pick. Obviously, he's such a muscly man, isn't he? He's a big boy. Yeah. But I think he'll get a few assists and goals this season, so he could be a good pick. But yeah, loads of different names here on this list. And yeah, could we be chucking some of these ones in our teams? We shall wait and see. Should we talk, AJ, then, sort of segueing on to how Ipswich Town players have got on so far? I've actually, on this list, on the striker one, Liam Delap is shown on here with 11 points. He's got the same amount of points as Jamie Vardy.
Like that a lot. Yeah, and that's only really come from the return where he's got the goal and the bonus points against Fulham, which is a good sign. It's good to have someone recognised in that list. Leif Davies obviously picking up a nice little haul as well for the assist against Fulham. Hopefully that will be first of many. Sorry he wasn't in your team. This is now the point where Ipswich players are going to come into consideration, isn't it? Where there were some who would have made our squads for the first couple of weeks in terms of those Liverpool and Man City games, but for the majority of people, if you had a Town player in your team, he would have gone on the bench. Is this now the point where you start to make those changes? It's interesting because the games are hard to judge. Maybe people made changes going into the Fulham game. Those who brought Delap in, if there were people who did that, would have reaped the rewards. Do you then look at this weekend as a similar opportunity? But Brighton are a really, really strong team as well. These aren't top six teams anymore. So it is the chance to look at those. And there will be some nice assets in there, because when it comes to the pricing of certain players, if you think there's a Town player who's going to do well, go pick him, because I think the most expensive still, £6 million, Sammy Smodex.
Yeah, and obviously we've made a few new signings since we've last done a FPL podcast, and obviously they've made their debuts for Town, but we haven't sort of spoke about their prices. AJ, do you want to let us know?
Yeah, I'm going to try and do this in signing order, if I can remember how to do it, in the weird timeline that was a bit of a blur going from the Man City game onwards. The first one who came in was Jack Clark. Now, his goal and assist return in the last two seasons or so been bettered by one man, which is Sammy Smodex. So I was a little bit surprised to see him on 5.5 million. I know that he's not quite as prolific and ruthless in front of goal, but given the fact that he can contribute with goals, with assists, I thought 5.5 was quite low, to be honest. And I think that he really is a standout option in that kind of market, in that bracket, especially if he can start getting those starts in the coming weeks now. It'll be a chance to hopefully get him into the starting 11. Ogbene is an interesting one. He scored an absolute belter last night for the Republic of Ireland, which was ruled out for offside. The right call, but a marginal one, a frustrating one. If he can have those kind of moments in front of goal, he's not really that prolific, I'll be honest. But if he can do that, then there's a lot to get excited about with him. Again, game time's an interesting one. Let's see how much he's played, but he started against Wimbledon and against Fulham since signing. And then the last one from there is Dar O'Shea. Again, game time's an interesting one. Another Irish international. I was about to say they're all Irish internationals. No, they're not, because Jack Clark isn't. But yeah, another one to go with Ogbene. He started against Wimbledon, was an unused sub, I believe, for the Fulham game. So again, competition for him in terms of coming up against Wolfie. But are the defensive assets there? 4 million. So him at 4, Benet at 5, and Clark at 5.5. Low prices if you believe they're going to perform. The one that stands out to me, though, Jack Clark, I think real value there.
Very much so. So is it Liam Delap who's got the most points so far and then Leif Davis behind him? Or
yes, it will be. I don't actually have this bit to hand, but I'm absolutely certain it will be those two as the top scorers. Other than that, I think it'll be Sammy Smodic for his goal against Manchester City. I need to double check exactly what he's on now. Sammy Smodic is on 9. What did you say Leif was on? Do we know?
I just got 7. Obviously, I would have got 7 points if he started for me at game week 3. So he would have.
He's got 8 in total. So the rankings at the moment: Leif with 8 points, and then it will be Sammy with, what did I say, Sammy?
9.
9. Yeah, 9, and then Liam Delap with 11. Those are the top scorers so far. Hopefully, more to come now that the fixtures get a little bit easier.
Yeah, very much so. I think the Southampton game is going to be the big one where a lot of people may look at chucking different players in, maybe like Amari Hutchinson, who loves a goal against Southampton. Yeah. But let's talk, AJ, about our changes, our team for game week 4. I'm going to let you go first because I've got some big moves, my friend, and I need time to propose, you know, get myself nice and composed and then get ready for it. So take it away, my friend.
Proposed or composed?
Composed, I know what I'm talking about.
You've already done your proposing, mate. Yeah, I'm going to go to the total opposite end of the scale so far, at least as things stand at just about 20-3 in the afternoon on Wednesday. I'm not going to make any changes. I'm going to bank my free transfer for another week because for the first time in a little while, I'm happy with what I've got when I look through it. The goalkeeper position is the only one that I feel like I'd consider changing, but knowing that I have the opportunity to roll the transfers over as long as Dean Henderson can hopefully have some decent games for Palace, and the fact that his next game is Leicester at home makes me hope that there are points to come for him coming weeks. Everton, Forest, Wolves, there are some tricky games chucked in there, but I'm hoping he can still perform. And I look at the rest of the team, there are a few bits that concern me. The fact that it's Tottenham against Arsenal, North London derby on Sunday, so I've got quite a lot of players coming up against each other. The fact that one of my key strikers in Chris Wood, who's been really good, is going to Anfield for a really tough game there against a team that haven't conceded a goal. But a lot I'm encouraged by Smith Rowe, an interesting one where he got he performed well, and I think he got a goal. Yeah. I'm sure he has got a goal. He scored against Leicester, so he's got that. But I don't think he's been wonderful other than that. And I was pretty underwhelmed by how he played against Town. Other than that, I'm pretty happy with what I've got in terms of Rico Lewis being a nice option to come in. They've got City have got Brentford at home, which is going to be an interesting one for Haaland. Is there a bit of a captaincy decision to be made with Mo Salah against Forest at home? Potentially there. The one that I am still banking on coming good, because I think he's brilliant, is Morgan Rogers at Aston Villa, who was 5 million. He's gone up to 5.1 now, despite the fact that he hasn't actually banked any points apart from the twos that he's had in every single game. So he started everyone, but hasn't got a goal or an assist yet. But his performances have been so good. He scored 2 for the England under-21s on Monday night at the win at Luton. So he's someone that I'm really confident is going to come good, and I'm really excited to see how he does. But other than that, yeah, no changes for me this week as things stand.
Yeah, of course, we're recording this before the press conferences for all the Premier League managers. So that can easily change a lot of people's teams. But yeah, I've gone drastic here because I had to do it. I've had a poor last 2 weeks. Well, poor 3 game weeks, really. I've not been happy. I've kept some of the key players. Like Raya, I'm going to keep in goal. I know they've got Spurs, but I've got one of the Palace goalkeepers. I haven't got Dean Henderson. I've got Matt Turner. He's just a goal, you know, just a goalie just to chuck on the bench. But I think Raya may do well against Spurs. It'll be an interesting battle. I have got Pedro Porro. I'll put him on my bench because I just think, yeah, defensively, I think Arsenal are probably going to score. But my big changes, though, is I have put Haaland in. I've done it. I've just done it. It's probably too late now, though. I could have easily had him in, you know, for the last, you know, since the start. But I just went, you know, I didn't want to go down that route. I wanted to be different. But No, he's just going to score loads of goals, isn't he, this season?
Being different is a dangerous game on FPL, yeah. But also knowing you now, you've added him in, he's probably going to blank.
Yeah, that's what I thought straight away. Before we came on this podcast, when I really made these decisions, I went, I'll probably say on the podcast that he'll probably, he won't score now for a few weeks. Because was he playing for Norway internationally?
Yeah.
Did he do much?
No, I don't think so. I can't lie. I'm not an avid follower of the Norwegian national team, unfortunately. But let's have a look. I can get it up here. They were in Nations League action. They played Kazakhstan in their first game. They drew 0-0. Haaland played the whole 90 minutes, had the least touches of any player and hit the post once. And he scored in the second game, which was at home to Austria.
That's a harder game. They couldn't score in Kazakhstan.
Kazakhstan,
you know, Borat, where Borat's from.
Okay, yeah, fair.
I'll put him on my team and I've had to do a lot of changing around. I've still got João Pedro. Getting mixed up my players now. And I've got Isaac as well. Isaac, I'm up top. So they're my three strikers. And I've got rid of... What did I get rid of? I got rid of Son. I went, see you later, mate. Goodbye.
That was a long week, wasn't it?
Yeah, Adam once. He's a good player, obviously, but they've got Arsenal next, Spurs. I just feel like I can't have him on my bench.
Oh, like, there's a hat-trick incoming then.
Yeah, probably. But I've kept Smith Rowe. I have brought in a Liverpool player because, once again, I don't know what. I was being stupid. Why haven't I even got one Liverpool player on my team? But I do now, and I brought in Jota. I thought Jota would be a good... I'm not going to get Salah on my team as well because, you know, I'll have to get rid of, you know, Saka or somebody. I know Salah's another good pick because you've got him in your team. But I thought if I was going to have one Liverpool player, I thought Jota. I know Diaz has got a lot of points so far, but Jota's a bit less expensive. He's, you know, still pricey, but he's not horrendous. So and they've got Forest Liverpool, as you already mentioned. So hopefully it gets me some points. And I've also brought in Eze from Crystal Palace. Okay. I think he's going to be a key player this season for Palace again. Definitely with Elise gone, and he'll get you points, won't he? He'll get you points. Mm. And obviously they've got Leicester this weekend. I've got Mitchell on my team in defence, so hopefully they'll both get some points together. But yeah, I've still got Keane, Michael Keane. He's still there. I'm just going to keep
him. Why not? If he's scoring goals, mate.
Yeah. I know Everton are going to be rubbish this year. No offence. I doubt there's any Everton fans. Sorry, Stu.
Poor Stu.
It's poor Stu. Still got Bowen, but I'm probably going to put Bowen on my bench. At Smith Rowe, I'm going to start. I know they've got. Or maybe I'm going to debate which one to start because obviously West Ham, Fulham play each other this weekend. So I'm like, who's more likely to get points? Who's going to be... Maybe I think Smith Rowe probably... I think Fulham may beat West Ham. Anyway, I've kept Saka. I know they've got Spurs, but Saka likes to score against Spurs.
I've got him as well.
Yeah.
I've really gone heavy on premium picks in terms of having Haaland, Salah and Saka and Isak and Saliba in there. Yeah. So I've gone big on those.
Why not? And Leif Davis, I've still got my team. I've still got an Ipswich Town player on my team because that's a rule which I'm sure we're hopefully going to stay with. You know, me, AJ, Stu and Heathie, but if you listeners out there want to continue that as well, please do. I'm actually going to start Leif Davis, which is controversial. Because I know we've got Brighton. I know that's a tough team, but I think we could score against them and maybe Leif Davis will be involved. So, once again, I was debating, do I start Porro or Keane? And I'm like, Porro, obviously they've got Spurs, as I said. No, they've got Arsenal, sorry. And then Keane, they've got Villa. So he's going to concede goals. He could score again, but I think, do you know what? Davis may not get a clean sheet at Brighton, but he may get involved and get an assist. So hopefully that you've understood my team as a whole there. There's a lot of changes. I've also done the big thing, and this is probably rookie move, but I've used a free hit, AJ, because I was not happy with my team. Is that too early?
No, at the end of the day, if you can see the way certain things are trending, it's always good to go early. If you can see a mistake, you don't get cut off, because look, you can't get cut off after three game weeks. But if you're holding off until December, January, saying, oh, I'm going to wait and then I'm going to change it, then by that point, you can be. So, yeah, the big issue that you'll find, and I'm probably say that you've had this, is that when you're doing these things in pre-season before the campaign starts, everything fits into place because everyone has round numbers. No prices have gone up, no prices have gone down. Now you're looking at Haaland's gone up to 15.2, Salah's gone up to 12.7, you've got Saka at 10.1, Chris Wood, 6.1, is just the ones I've got in my team. Morgan Rogers, 5.1. So you want to bring those players in, but all of a sudden you're finding you take player X out and bringing player Y in, you might be 0.1, 0.2, 0.3 million off. So it's a hard balance to find. And it's also difficult to know when to do it, just in terms of trying to predict how sustainable these performances are going to be for certain players. You might look at, for example, I'd be considering João Pedro based on his current form, but I had him last season and he wasn't able to sustain that over a long period and I ended up taking him out. And would that be worth it? Worth the risk for me to bring him in? I probably don't think so. But if I look at you bringing in Erling Haaland, he's done it week in, week out. God knows how long. You could say the same about Salah and whoever. So basing it on those kind of things is important. Trying to find players who have consistently done it at this level before is important. And if you can see a trend of a player doing it, let's be honest, more often than not, it's going to be a premium player like a Cole Palmer, a Haaland, a Saka, all of these guys, then make the move. It probably doesn't pay to be different, let's be honest.
Yeah, I'll bring the players I've got rid of then. So yeah, Son, basically Jota. Eze has actually replaced Cole Palmer, even though Cole Palmer, he'll get you points. But I haven't, obviously Chelsea.
Have you taken him out of your team?
He's gone. Yeah,
he's gone.
He's gone.
Thought he was on your bench. Wow.
I had to bring Haaland in. I needed to, get rid of a big hitter. And obviously Cole Palmer is a big hitter in terms of price. So, And obviously Son was as well. So I just had to do that. Ollie Watkins is gone. So Haaland's replaced him, basically. So let me quickly look. Have I got some money in my bank still? No, I've got no money in my bank, so that's good.
I've got 0.4 at the moment. I mean, again, the good thing you can have is if you buy a player at a certain amount and the prices go up, then you have money that you can bank in that in terms of your squad worth if you then go move players on. So hoping to get to 0.5. So if I can make that upgrade anywhere in the team, then I can go do that.
Okay. What's your captaincy, your vice captaincy this weekend?
I mean, toss a coin at this point because it's Salah or Haaland, really. One will be captain, one will be vice captain. I like, Isak going to Wolves is a nice one, and Saka and Spurs, all those ones. But at the moment, you can't go against one of them. I think after consecutive hat tricks, it's hard to look away from Erling Haaland, albeit that I think Salah's game might be a bit nicer in a way, because I remember Brentford going and winning at the Etihad fairly recently, and they seem to have City's number quite well. Thomas Frank knows what he's doing when he comes up against them. But on current form, 6 goals in his last 2 league games, that is ridiculous. 7 goals already this season. He has played 3 football matches. I don't think you can look past Erling Haaland as captain, so I think I'm going to have to do that.
Yeah, Haaland's my captain. And vice-captain, I'm actually going to give it to Eze for Crystal Palace. They've got Leicester, so I think you'll probably score there, potentially. Now, I'm debating now, though, AJ. I'm looking at my team. I've got Pedro, João Pedro for Brighton. Obviously, takes on Ipswich. Do I keep him in? Or do I get him out? Maybe, I don't know. But then when I regret it.
It doesn't pay to be sentimental about these things, I've found. Captain Salah against Liverpool? Right, okay, brilliant. Against Ipswich, and it was the right decision. I captained Haaland against Ipswich, it was the right decision. Now, I'm not going to sit here and then justify what Shu did, which was triple captain Erling Haaland against Town, which did it get him about a million points? Yeah. Will he be able to sleep at night because of it? Is it morally acceptable? No. So, I think that there's a fine line between those two things, but I don't think that you can really be taking play. If you want to be towards the top, I wouldn't be taking players out just because they're playing against Ipswich, especially someone like João Pedro, who scored once against United and once against Arsenal. He's really in good form at the moment.
Yeah, so if he scores against Ipswich, that's fine. And then Leif Davis gets an assist to, I don't know, assist the lap again, and it's 1-1. I'll be happy with that. So I'll take that right now. So 1-1 draw, I'm saying, for this weekend. Although Brighton, oh, it's going to be a tough game. So those that's our team as a whole. Shall we quickly look, AJ, at the leaderboard? Because obviously... Or did you want to quickly look at the matchups? I think we've sort of covered it in terms of the key ones with the Haaland and Salah and stuff. Is there any other games you look at? Obviously, we've got these, you know, North London derby. So, you know, players in those games are going to be interesting. But yeah, don't think there's any other
notes. Yeah. There are a few teams that intrigue me. The newly promoted sides, and I'm putting Ipswich in this bracket as well. Now they're starting to find their feet. What are we going to see from them? Because Leicester have largely been pretty poor. They got a point from a game where they got absolutely battered against Spurs and then have lost against Fulham and Villa, but they've not been like battered. These are 2-1 defeats they've had. So I'm really intrigued to see how they come up against Palace side away from home, who are, again, doing okay, but not wonderfully. Really intrigued by Southampton, who've had a really torrid start, losing all three games. Second bottom from the league. Are there going to be assets in there? I was kind of looking at Ben Brereton Diaz. He got hooked 35 minutes into Chile's game last night. So what's going to happen there? From there, a few interesting ones. I've been intrigued by Nottingham Forest. I know I've got Wood in there, but how do they handle now? They've had some good results in terms of what they've done. They've drawn Bournemouth, beaten Southampton, drawn Wolves. Not a bad return from the start. Are there players in there that could be interesting? Fulham, West Ham again. Where are these teams going to lie in terms of their ambitions and where they're likely to, what the battle's going to be essentially this season? Because you look at a West Ham, I feel like they could easily finish 13th, 14th. They could also easily end up in Europe. So now these teams are starting to find their feet a little bit more. It's a good chance that we can start judging them. Teams like West Ham, for example, have had a lot of players come in. They've now had an international break to work with them. We're going to get to see what they're really going to be like over the course of the season. And then, of course, the mouth-watering one, really, Spurs-Arsenal on Sunday. Not really from an FPL perspective, to be perfectly honest, but just in terms of entertainment, I think is going to be really, really good. Arsenal without, I think, pretty much their whole midfield. Rice suspended, Odegaard's out. They've got a lot of injury issues there. Jesus, Marino, Calafiori, Tomiyasu. So going across North London a bit depleted. I'd be intrigued to see if Spurs can get something from that game. But less so from an FPL perspective. I think from there, it's just looking at the mid-table and the newly promoted sides that's interesting to me.
It's not good for me then. I've got Saka and Raya. So that's that'll be all right. I'm sure
they'll be fine.
That'll be fine. All right, then. Shall we take a look at the leaderboard and give a shout out to the top of the table, Massive? Obviously, out of us four, Stu is leading the way. He's 35th in the table.
Yeah, but he cheated by triple captaining Haaland. Yeah. Doesn't count.
Yeah, his name is Don't Look at the Table, so he's probably not doing that. He's doing a Kieran McKenna. Don't look at the table, mate. Don't know. What? We're top two in the championship? Well, we're going to get promoted to the Premier League? Yeah, that was last year. This year, I'm sure it's a bit different. And then Heathie, we don't know where he is. He's somewhere in the table.
He said on the podcast, if you're really interested, go back and listen to it. I think he's about somewhere in the 500s, I think he said.
Yeah, he's doing better than me. He's doing better than me anyway. And then obviously, AJ, you're 60-something, aren't you?
I'm 55th at the moment. 55th? So, yeah. How dare you insult me like that, saying I'm in the 60s. So, yeah, it's interesting, again, where the gaps are really small at the moment, like between me and Stu. What's Stu again? It was 35. So 20 places exactly between us. It's 4 points. So it's a transfer between the two of us.
Pretty much.
Away in terms of the points differences. So it's slender gaps at the moment. All you need is a good weekend to end up top and an absolute nightmare to be towards the bottom.
Yeah, which is, although I'm maybe mid, just the bottom of my table. I'm not bottom yet, but I'm definitely, because I'm 612, so, and I think there's like 1,000 people in the chat in the obviously league. So
you are the Wolves of this FPL.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Not a proper relegation battle, but yeah, just kind of like sat there, just above.
I need to get a lot of Portuguese players in my team, man, because obviously that is Wolves' go-to. We've got to give a shout-out to the new leader of the our fantasy league, and that is Kevin, or Kev H, 17 going under 0-0, with 90 points in game week 3, total points 267. He's in front by 2 points. We've got, obviously, George, who was top of the table for a while with the Denaissance 3, or the third. He's a 265. Then you've got Stephen Buckley, 3, Ottershaw Heroes with 262. He's joint third, actually, with Nick Wells of Sunshine and Leaf, which is a great name. Then you've got James Ponchard, the Suffolk Punch. He's a 5th. Paul Bloomfield in 6th. Looking pretty good.
I want to give a quick shout out, by the way, to George Ovenall with the Denaissance 3. Because we obviously have our rule in terms of having a certain amount of town players. He has 3 Ipswich Town players in his team. Amari Hutchinson, who obviously blanked, but then had Davis and Delap picking up 14 points from those two. If you get these kind of hauls, or having 3 Ipswich Town players in your team, fair play to you. Because, I mean, look through his team as well. Davis 7, Bowen 5, Semenyo 6, Salah 17, Haaland 34 on top of the Town players. Fair play. Fair play.
Well done, George. That is really good effort from you, my friend. Let's see what Kev had in his team then for him to go top of the table. So Salah, Eze, got Isaac as well, Haaland, obviously. I want to see if there's anybody in this league who hasn't got Haaland or Salah and they're doing well. Probably not.
I doubt it,
yeah. Let's see what Nick has got. He's got Luis Diaz, Salah, Haaland as well. Yeah, he's got Henderson from his team as well. Let's see.
I found one. It's number 8 in the league.
Go on, Jake.
Smith, Partree, does not have Erling Haaland. No, he does have Salah. But going without Haaland's been brave. But then banking Luis Diaz as well. I mean, you look at his midfield, Eze 10, Diaz 15, Salah 17, Saka 12. That's a free hit team, but... Whoa, that's a strong return from your midfielders.
Yeah, I think we'll be here all day going through all the teams to see, but everyone's got Haaland or Salah. Obviously, I didn't have that, so I was one of the ones that didn't go, you know, front of the crowd, but now I have because I'm regretting it because I'm 612th in the table. But yeah, if you are anybody who is listening, you haven't got Haaland or Salah as well, and you are doing pretty well, let us know because, I'm scrolling down, but I'll be here all day. Some great names as always. And it's great to see so many of our listeners involved. And hope you've enjoyed it so far. Try not to give up. I was at one stage, I was going, I've given up. I'm not even going to bother. But now I've done those changes, I'm feeling positive for this weekend. Just hopefully, you know, Haaland does score a goal. If he doesn't, I'm going to be annoyed.
Oh, I'll be annoyed at you.
Yeah, so it'd be my fault. Yeah, everybody, you're my fault. You're welcome. Looking forward to game week 4. Any other business, AJ, as we wrap up another Kings of Anglia FPL podcast?
No, don't think so. I mean, I'm going to say this a lot when we head over there and in the build-up to it, but looking forward to this weekend. I'm enjoying the Premier League vibe, and FPL is a big part of that. So, until it all goes horribly wrong, of course. And my team starts dropping down the table, but hopefully I can sustain something in the top 100 for a little bit longer.
Top man. Well, thanks for joining me. Thanks everyone for listening to another Kings of Anglia FPL podcast. Hope you've enjoyed these. We're going to hopefully do these every week when we can. It's just if other things come up, we'll have to do it every fortnight. But hope you've enjoyed. Obviously, there'll be a flagship show looking ahead to Brighton game. But if you don't get around to listening to that, hope you do enjoy the Brighton game if you are going. If not, follow coverage of us as always, and thanks again for listening. Bye bye for now.
League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Build a polished wardrobe that shows you stay you wherever you go with Mack Weldon. Use code MACK25 for 25% off your first order of $125 or more at MackWeldon.com.